And good Wednesday, everybody. Welcome into the Rundown here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on the Game Nashville app as well. How's it going? I am Chase McCabe here with you at my home studio. Ryan Porth is at his home studio. Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Ryan, what's up?
I'm not at my home studio, Chase.
Oh, are you at the studio?
No, I'm on Cloud 9.
That's stupid. But no, I know why you are. I'm kidding.
Okay.
I'm just this is a prelude to what's coming at 9:45 and what's going to happen on Friday. There's going to be a lot of trash talking between us this week.
Well, yes, but that's not why I'm on Cloud 9.
I know.
I mean, the NHL coming out with their return to play format. We don't know dates, but man, it is exciting to hear what their plan is and have at least a glimmer of hope that they can come back later this summer.
Man, that was such a program director move. Get to it. Come on, get to the content. Let's go. that was you right there. But you're right. The NHL did come out with their plan yesterday. Gary Bettman, or Gare as I called him on Twitter, he had a video. I was kind of thinking he was going to do like a press conference, but it was like a taped video that they ran on NHL Network and the NBCSN. They put it on NHL.com. But he laid it all out. He basically tried to answer as many questions as possible. There still are questions, which is okay. I don't think that's a bad thing. And let me just, before we lay all this out, my biggest takeaway from the whole thing was, it's still if it is safe for the season to resume. He's being very cautious with that. And I applaud the NHL that, you know, they're putting the safety of the players and everybody involved with hockey first. And so if new information comes out, they have the right to change it. But all indications are hockey is going to return later this summer. So
yes, I agree with you. I don't know if it was something that was in large doubt that they couldn't come back.
Sure.
Then I don't think Gary Bettman is having that press conference yesterday, or the, however you want to put it, the State of the Union of the National Hockey
Lunch with
League.
Care.
Yes, exactly. If there was a ton of doubt that they could even come back, I don't think Bettman is laying out the return to play format. And I know he's saying all the right things when it comes to the health and safety of the players and staff members, but the fact that he gave some soft timelines that, you know, July 1st, training camp cannot start until then, but that is kind of the window that they're looking at to start training camp, and then perhaps 3 weeks after that, they can start looking at actually getting into the qualifying round to return to play.
Yeah, so let's lay this out. This is what Gary Bettman said. So there, we know, and we kind of knew all this. These were all the rumors that were out there. There will be two sites for this, and basically the idea is an east-west, but it could be different. It may not necessarily be an eastern city and a western city, but that's kind of the idea. 24 teams, 12 from each conference, based on points percentage. So, yes, the Chicago Blackhawks are in the 2014 playoff, as
yes,
we
they
knew
are.
They probably would be.
But it's not a 2014 playoff. It's just a 2014 format.
Format.
They are not considering the qualifying round as the playoffs.
Yes. Top four seeds in each conference play, they will get the bye out of the qualifying round, but they will play a round robin for seeding, which that was a question that we had. Okay, so what? They just sit around and practice? How does this work? But they're going to play meaningful games too. So I think that that's important, that there are games that count for those four, you know, top four seeds, that they're able to play, but, you know, they're trying to get better seating. So I think that's cool. I like that plan.
Yeah, I mean, look, it would be a disadvantage to the top four seeds if they just had to sit around during a bye week or bye 10 days, and then you have a five seed or a seven seed or an eight seed play great hockey for the best of five. They advance to play one of the teams that had to sit out for a week, week and a half. And then that team that had a great regular season is rusty, and the lower seed, you know, has a big advantage there under that scenario. So I am glad to see that the top four teams are at least going to have some sort of round robin. I'll be interested to see all the particulars in how that will impact the actual seeding when it comes down to it. And I still wish that the seeds 5 through 12 could have some sort of warm-up action before
I feel
starting
like they
the
will.
Best of five.
I still feel like they will before this is all said and done. I just – they have to.
I would love to know what the players think because the NHLPA – look, Gary Bettman was on Go Look and We Go this morning. He made it clear that the NHL and the NHLPA worked very well through this, and there wasn't a whole lot of disagreement to the point of it becoming a heated debate between the two sides. That's the way he made it sound like, at least. And if the NHLPA is really strong in saying, look, we really want our players to have the opportunity to have warm-up games before these essentially playoff games begin. You know, they're not going to call it the playoffs. It's the qualifying round or play-in series or whatever, but essentially it is the playoffs. Meaningful games. They got to knock off the rust somehow. So I'm not going to say 100% no since they didn't come out and say it yesterday. I tend to lean towards you in terms of some point in the next month, we might learn that there's going to be a 2 or 3 game warm-up session for these teams.
Here's why I don't think they did that. Because, and we're going to hear from Gary Bettman in just a second, but they're still being vague, and vague could be the wrong word, but they're being cautious on the timeline. They're not just saying, they're giving you, you know, a ballpark of when they want to get this going, but they're not saying, yes, we will commence play on July 25th. You know, they're being cautious with that, and I think that that's smart. And so that's why I don't think there's been an announcement of, yeah, we're going to get warm-up games going, because they don't know exactly when, so why even say it right now? Let's you know, leave that unanswered, because as I said to start this, you don't have to answer every question right away. We have a general idea of what this is going to look like now and how they're going to crown the Stanley Cup champion, correct? I mean,
correct. We
know that now. The picture is clear. But it doesn't have to be crystal clear right now on May 27th because they are months away from actually dropping the puck to play this. So I feel like there will be warm-up games. I'm sure we'll find out at some point, but it's okay that we don't know exactly how that's going to look yet. So as you said, the qualifying round is what we were calling it, seeds 5 through 12, the Predators. The sixth seed will play the Coyotes in that qualifying round in a best of five. To determine basically who gets into the actual playoffs, and then things kind of pick up from in. Well, I'd say they kind of pick up how we know them. We don't know the length of the first and second round. He did say that yesterday, that it could be best of five, could be best of seven. I think they're just going to base that on what kind of time they have.
Right, and as you were basically alluding to, everything is fluid, and if they can't start the qualifying round until August, then I would say at least the first round could very well be a best of five and not best of seven.
Which I'm going to say this. I'm going to go ahead and have the PSA, Ryan, for all the purists out there. And you're a hockey purist, but I'm not putting you in this category because you get it. I don't want to see people complaining on Twitter of, well, it's always a best of seven. You can't change it. How could you do that? Yeah, we're in weird times, dude.
So. Is that your Twitter voice?
It was. I thought that was pretty good.
That was actually a very weird voice.
Well,
I'm a little spooked right now after that voice.
Well,
that was the weirdest Chase McCabe I have ever heard.
Well, I mean, Twitter, there are some people that probably sound that way. I'm just going to say.
I'm sitting here flabbergasted that I just heard
That's
that.
That's a great word. That's a great word. Flabbergasted. Well
yeah.
done by you.
Yeah, it gets you a lot of points in Scrabble.
Yes,
so,
yes.
You know, when it comes to the Preds and Coyotes, it's a good thing that there's no Kostitsyns in the picture or Alexander Radulov or Scottsdale, Arizona. These games are, you know, Scottsdale, Arizona is not considered to be one of the potential hub cities. So I think all
and
of those are positives.
Neither is Nashville, by the way. Let's point
correct.
That out.
But I think all those are positives when you look at a potential Predators Coyotes qualifying round best of five.
Yeah. So I am fine with it. Best of five. You know, sometimes, and this goes under the category of, all right, we can experiment with some things. We might find out we like best of five somewhere in here. I doubt it, but you never know. You never know what might come of it. Gary Bettman, the commissioner of the NHL, did go on Golic and Wingo earlier this morning. And yesterday, like we said, that the timeline's a little hazy of when phase two actually begins, when phase three would actually begin, when they would drop the puck. And still not a concrete plan, but he did open up a little bit more on Golic and Wingo earlier today.
My guess, my thinking, it's more than a guess, is we'll be in training camp at some point in mid-July, give or take, and we'll be playing in the summer and probably into the early fall. And to anticipate your next question, based on how we've reviewed everything, we don't have to start the 2021 season in October if we slide it to November or December.
Gary Bettman on Golic and Wingo this morning. I love how he's answering these questions, Ryan. I do. I don't put a date on it. You don't have to. He's giving you a ballpark, and guess what? He probably knows. There's probably a piece of paper or a dry erase board in his office that has dates on it, and it's like, that's our goal. That's probably when it's going to happen, but we don't have to know that yet. Mm-hmm. He's giving you as much as he can. I mean, he even said it right there. Like, I would guess, even though it's not a guess, like, he knows. He's telling you that he knows, but we don't have to know yet, because if more information comes out and they deem, starting this thing August 1st, which is what I threw out yesterday, is just my guess, and all of a sudden it's like, might be more like the middle of the month. You know, you don't want people up in arms because they're changing the date. So I'm fine with the vagueness.
You also don't want to get people's hopes up.
Exactly.
You don't want to come out and say that the league is going to return on July 15th. That's our target date. And then 3 weeks from now say, well, you know, with how things are progressing, then we're looking at more like August 1st. Like that, then you're just kind of putting hockey fans through the ringer of, just pushing back the timeline. So I agree with you.
And I want you to stay on your cloud, okay? You're on your cloud today. You're feeling good, and I don't want your cloud to go away.
I know. I completely agree. And, you know, all the clouds, there's a lot of clouds in Nashville today, and I'm on the ninth one. when you look at the timeline, too, he said yesterday that training camps won't start before July 1. So then instantly in my head, I was like, okay, well, if it's, let's say July 1 is the best case scenario, then you're probably looking at around July, the weekend of July 25th, 26th, maybe the week after that, basically 2 months from exactly right now as the potential return to play. But then you hear him on Golic and Wingo.
Which is perfect for me, by the way.
Yes. when you look at then what you hear on Golic and Wingo, what he said of training camps likely maybe mid-July, give or take, well, then you're probably looking at the first week of August as being a realistic date if the NHL is able to come back, that they come back at that point. And then, you know, I would assume the Stanley Cup would be awarded in October at that point, which would be very weird, but obviously we will take it more than them having to cancel the rest of this season.
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it because you get hockey. I mean, you get to finish the season, and then they'll start next season. And I know Willie's thrown out 55 days in between is what the players would like to have. I don't know exactly how long they'll have in between finishing this season and starting next season. But, again, they have that stuff figured out, and it's just – it's a weird time, and it's something that we all just need to get used to for now, and eventually they'll get back on track. But I love that there is a plan in place. When we come back, though, Ryan, a big area where I think the NHL really got this right, we will discuss that when we return here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Stop by and eat with us. Stop by and eat with us, game partner. I knew I was going to mess that up. To eat, dine in, or carry out, and get a sticker from the restaurant and add it to your card. Take a picture and post it on Twitter using the hashtag #EatWithUs and tag us at 102.5 The Game, the Preds at Preds NHL, and the restaurant itself. Secure 8 stickers, receive a Preds prize pack. Secure all 16 stickers and receive a hashtag Preds player autographed puck. To see participating restaurants and to print out the card, visit thegamenashville.com. Eat with us. Cool thing that we're doing along with the Nashville Predators. Welcome back into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Chase McKay, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson. How do you feel about the NHL's return to play plan? 615-737-1025 on our text line. Let us know what you think about that. Now, where did they get this right? The big thing for me, Ryan, that really, really stood out was, and Gary Bettman even talked about it on Golic and Wingo earlier, is they're not groveling over money. Baseball, we haven't heard diddly from baseball in over a week because they're groveling about money. Because that's their big, they're fighting over that of the revenue split. There's no money groveling in this, and they're all taking a hit. Their finances are taking a hit in this, but they know that that's not what we need to all hear about, and that's not the most important thing. And so they have that part figured out. They have a system in place, and we're not listening to them grovel over it right now. That's where I really think they got this right.
Yeah, I think that's well said, and I'm going to preface what I'm about to say is that I'm not fully in tune with every single minute detail of the baseball negotiation. We all know they're grappling over money, and it's not a good look through a global pandemic. Where I think baseball got it wrong in hindsight is that they came to an agreement in March over how they would get paid, and the players are holding that against the owners because they think they've already agreed to how they should get paid, whereas the owners don't necessarily feel that way. So it's a mess, and all of us baseball fans wish this wasn't the case because it is a horrible, horrible look for that sport, especially if in the next week it comes out that that is the number one issue over health and safety concerns and they can't get it done. Like, if that happens and the 2020 season gets washed out for Major League Baseball, that's going to be a huge black eye. And if it gets washed out because of money, if it gets washed out because of the pandemic, I think people would be a lot more understanding of that. But to bring this back to the NHL, I think you're right with what you're saying, is that the NHL did not spend a lot of time through this process going over the money. Where I'll also say they won big yesterday is that they actually came out and they had a plan. They had a plan that I know for some people was confusing, especially when you get into the NHL draft lottery. It sounded like a calculus class trying to figure out all the different details of how the qualifying round impacts the NHL draft lottery and the different phases of the draft lottery. We already have enough phases with the pandemic and getting back to practice and just normal life in each city. But the fact that they came out and had an official plan, this is what we are going to do if we can come out or come back and play later this summer, I thought was a huge win for the NHL because they are the first of really the three major sports that have been in limbo through this. The NFL really hasn't because the NFL didn't have their season going on or about to start when this pandemic hit. They beat the NBA to the punch. They beat Major League Baseball to the punch. And they are getting a lot of eyeballs on at least the brand right now. You know, this morning on Go Look and Wingo, sure, they were talking more NHL than they have talked about in the last 2.5 months and combined. And if the NHL is kind of setting the standard here, like the NBA kind of set the standard in when they shut down the season and hit pause, everybody else was basically a domino in that process. Now the NHL is coming back and saying, this is our plan. This is how we're going to do it if we can come back, even though there's no timeline. Gary Bettman sounded very thought out, very organized, knew exactly what was going on with this return to play and made it clear, again, on Go Look and Wingo this morning, that there was no true fighting between the NHL and the NHLPA. And it just sounds like it looks like the NHL had their stuff together through this as opposed to some of the other major leagues.
Yeah, and that's what's so important. And he you know, putting health first, you know, making that top of mind and opening with that, you know, in his video that he did yesterday. I mean, he was very, very, very sincere that, you know, we're putting the health and safety of all of our players and personnel first. And that is the only thing that we really, really, truly care about. And I think that that's, you know, you want to hear that, but you also believe it when you hear him say that. And I think that that's what's important. They obviously want to get back, but they know how serious that this is. So that's another way that I think that they got it right.
Yes, and I thought Jason Fitz on game night last night with you, which, by the way, you can go to our YouTube page or Facebook page and watch the full video of you, Chase McCabe, alongside our good buddy Jason Fitz. Great conversation last night. Part of it was the return of sports or potential return of sports, and I thought Fitzy put it best by saying the power of eyeballs is potentially going to be epic for the National Hockey League, especially if they beat the NBA back. Not that this is necessarily a race, but you can have more of a stage to yourself if you are coming back to action before the NBA does. I don't know if they're going to beat MLB to the punch. If MLB comes to an agreement here in the next week and a half, then I think their timeline of early July to actually have games and not just get back to a spring training, I think that becomes more realistic. But if they beat the NBA to the punch, and they are playing meaningful games before the NBA is, I think that's going to be great for the NHL brand. And, you know, even if it's 100 degrees outside, people are still going to be clamoring for playoff hockey, even though it's going to look and feel a lot different than normal.
Yeah, and you know, Ben, it's funny as you said that. Ben texted in and said race to first might not be a good thing. NBA might be watching. I really don't think this is a race. This is you can say that maybe in some ways that it is, but I just think that these leagues have been working together, but they're also working separately because they're just trying to figure it all out and figure out how to get back. One thing that Marquise and I were just texting about is that, you know, I think the NBA could be waiting on Vegas, you know, that they're trying to get back and that's where they want to play. And so Vegas could be, you know, could be what's holding up the NBA. So I think that that's probably a part of it too. But again, it's just get back, just start playing. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski in a few minutes from ESPN about the NHL. But it's make sure everybody's safe. Make sure you have a plan in place for testing. And then, you know, when you deem that it's okay, you come back. And not every plan is going to be perfect, but you come back and you take it day by day and adjust accordingly.
Mm-hmm. Well, here's the thing, though. You and Marquise mentioned how the NBA might be waiting on Vegas, but the NHL didn't wait on their 10 potential hub cities. They came out and said, this is our format that we're going to come back with. And Bettman said last night, he said this morning again with Golic and Wingo, that it might take another 3 or 4 weeks to determine which hub cities they select due to how the pandemic is doing in those cities. So, I mean, they came out with a format even before saying where exactly the games are going to be played. So, you know, I thought it was a pretty big win for the NHL yesterday in terms of just national exposure to their sport and them looking really good in the process.
Yeah. Yeah. And they did, and they handled it well. And, you know, they gave more of, you know, what they're going to do if somebody tests positive, and they've laid all this plan out. So I think that's very, very, very good for the league. And again, NHL.com laid it all out for everyone. I'm not even going to attempt to get into the draft lottery stuff because I got very confused with that. But they do have a plan in place even for the draft and how they're going to handle that. So
yeah, and the draft lottery, the phase one of the draft lottery is going to take place on Friday, June 26th, which is the date in which the normal NHL draft would have taken place from Montreal. The first round of the draft would have been that night. So I assume that's in conjunction with their TV partner, NBC Sports Network, and the draft lottery would take place within that time slot that they initially had the draft scheduled.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. We'll talk to Greg Wyshynski from ESPN. He covers the NHL for them. We will do that when we come back here on The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back into The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game on the Game Nashville app. Chase McKay, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson is back at the Wholesale Link Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. We say hello to Greg Wyshynski, of course, of ESPN. ESPN.com covers the NHL for them. Greg, what's up? We have a plan.
We do have a plan, but as the NHLPA will remind you, a plan is not the same as voting to return to play. And that's something that their executive director, Don Fehr, talked about at length in a Q&A we have with him on ESPN.com right now, which I hope people check out today because it's very informative. The players want you to know, this is cool. We agree to this format. If we come back to play, this will be it. This is what we'll do. But we have not decided if we're going to come back to play it. We got to see about testing. We got to see about accommodations. We got to see about where our families are going to be. All that stuff has yet to be settled. But, you know, as far as a sugar rush of tasty candy, that was a treat from the NHL yesterday because it certainly got hockey fans and other sports fans pretty excited.
Yeah, and I do think that's important because that's one thing that we started off this conversation with this morning was it's still if they return. Now they've laid this plan out. You kind of feel like it is more of a win, but who knows what's going to change? There could be more information that comes out. You just mentioned the testing and how important that's going to be. And Gary Bettman opened up his Zoom video, whatever you want to call it, by saying that the health and safety of the players and personnel is number one. And I truly believe that. I don't think that that's just something he's saying. I truly believe that. So if the players and the league don't feel like it's safe, then they won't come back. But I do feel like that this is at least moving in the right direction where at some point this summer we'll have hockey again.
I would say the percentages tell you that's the case. We asked Don Fehr from the NHLPA about the aspect of this that I think is undeniable at this point, which is the genie's out of the bottle. I mean, like, the NHL put out a plan yesterday, and everybody loved it for the most part, that it's coming back. I mean, there's certain parts you can quibble about, but the reviews are pretty strong as far as what that format is and what this tournament could look like. And there's palpable excitement. I had people from outside of hockey praising Gary Bettman, which is a first. So there's a lot of good vibes right now about the league. And I mean, I think the NHLPA is in a real spot if all of a sudden they want to slam the brakes on this momentum, you know, for any various and sundry reason. Yeah, all the reasons are solid. This is, you know, players being asked to come back and play during a global pandemic. And I think to speak to your point, the biggest fear for the NHL is a second wave of this at some point, you know, during the summer, the late summer, where all of a sudden the tension turns to cases spiking again and we don't have a vaccine or anything. So there's a lot still out there. There's a lot still out there to be decided. And you know, if the health and safety of the players is paramount, I do wonder how you square that with the NHL's approach to positive tests, which is, we'll just take them out of the general population and put them in a hotel room for 10 days and it'll be fine. Because, I mean, we shut down the league for a positive test in another sport, right? So, like, it's hard to really square their take on the positive test aspect of this thing. But, I mean, their doctors are telling them it shouldn't shut down the tournament, so that's where we are.
ESPN's Greg Wyshynski here with us on ESPN 102.5 The Gray, 102.5 The Game. Greg, when you talk about the NHLPA, what I guess you could say, roadblocks could you see the NHLPA kind of putting up to this plan? What specifically?
Well, the return to play plan or coming back, like, in total this summer?
Both.
Well, the return to play plan, I mean, they helped conceive it, right? And they voted 29-2 to approve the plan. The only two teams that didn't want it were Carolina and Tampa for personal reasons based on their playoff situations. So they've basically rubber stamped this format. One of the things that we found out from Don Fehr is that the notion that the statistics are frozen in time as of March 11th, which is something that Gary Bettman said yesterday, that's not a view shared by the players. Don Fehr basically said that part of the equation hasn't been settled yet. So while we've been seeing the Edmonton Oilers congratulating Leon Draisaitl on his Art Ross Trophy, and we've been seeing, you know, David Pastrnak and Alex Ovechkin sharing the Rocket Richard, apparently there's still some negotiation to be had as to what to do with the stats from the qualifying round. Now, this is where things get a little weird, and I think we have to kind of get a definition at some point, because you have the NHL saying these aren't the playoffs, and the sports books are saying these aren't the playoffs for the purposes of paying out bets that say, will this team make the playoffs? If your team's in the qualifying round, they're not paying you, okay, because they don't consider it to be a playoff round. So do those stats count for the playoffs? Do those stats count for the regular season? Because that could be the difference between Alex Ovechkin getting another 50-goal season or not, or players making certain bonuses in their contracts or not. So that's one big part of conversations that has to happen. But in total, I mean, to bring it back to the big picture, it's all about the testing. It's all about the safety. It's all about where they want to put these guys up in these hub cities. And, you know, the biggest issue for a lot of these guys, a lot of these older players, and remember, it's the older players that hold sway in the Players Association, is can I see my family for 2 months, or are you going to put me in a hotel room for 2 months? Because that's a real big issue for them. And, you know, the NHL is clearly working towards figuring out a solution on that, and the PA clearly believes that the players should not be separated from their families for months on end.
Clearly, all of those logistics, all of those details, very important. But when you look at the format itself and the actual on-ice aspect of this, the fact that 24 teams would be coming back in this format, there's the 5 versus 12, 6 versus 10, yada, yada. Greg, how do you feel hockey fans are going to like that? And also, how do you feel the fringe hockey fan is going to enjoy this format?
It's going to be sick. I mean, it's going to be potentially the greatest postseason tournament we've ever had in 100 years of the National Hockey League, because you're going to have teams that will be at full strength. Everybody will have months to rehab their injuries. You have the largest playoff field we've ever had, I mean, with 24 teams, including, you know, 5-game play-in series and all that stuff. It's chaos, and it's fun, and it's going to be unpredictable. And I mean, it's tantalizing. And I think also we can't separate the fact that any sports that are live, that are put on television, are getting ratings right now. So that's a good moment for hockey. And also, you know, the NHL has made inroads in the sports wagering community for the last couple of years. This is going to be a major betting event, because you're going to have games that start at noon and that go on throughout the day, March Madness style. And I think that's going to be attractive to wagerers. The downside about this tournament is that it's going to be played in empty arenas. And, you know, as anybody who's been to a Stanley Cup playoff game knows, it's the atmosphere the fans create. It's the noise. It's the aesthetics. It's everything that goes on in those playoff games and how intense it is, not only on the ice but in the stands, that makes them special. So the real trick in attracting hockey fans to watch this and attracting non-hockey fans to get into it is, how do you cover up that aspect of it? And, you know, do you pump in crowd noise? Do you, you know, do crazy camera angles? Do you, you know, create a situation where you have unfettered access to the players, kind of like HBO 24/7 style around these games? They've got to come up with ways to create a compelling product that is not simply just like an empty arena game. And I think they've got some good ideas that they're cooking, but that's going to be the real key as to whether or not this really kind of takes hold, or if it just kind of just lays there.
Do you think there's going to be upsets galore in this format?
Well, I mean, all we've heard for the last, you know, week and a half is how scared Pittsburgh is of Carey Price and the Montreal Canadiens. So, I mean, I think upsets could happen. I mean, a 5-game series certainly is more comprehensive than a 3-game series insofar as may the best team win. But sure, I mean, look, we have a situation now where if the Philadelphia Flyers in the Eastern Conference, well, I think Dallas is in the same boat. If they go 3-0 in that round robin tournament, all of a sudden they're the number one seed, which is nuts, but that's the way it could work out. So there's a lot of sort of possibilities for nutty things happening. And I think that's part of the fun aspect of this. I mean, you know, part of that nuttiness is also the fact that if the Penguins do get upset in the first round, you know, there's a possibility where they could end up losing in the qualifying round and then getting the top pick in the draft, which is, you know, another aspect of this thing that's just delicious in many ways.
Greg Wyshynski of ESPN talking hockey with us and their return to play plan. So am I right in saying that the teams in the best of five, they will have a couple of exhibition games to get warmed up?
Yep, that was the report last night, is that they're going to have some exhibition games just among the teams that will be at these hubs to get a little warmed up. And this has been a point of contention from the Players Association since the start of this whole thing, which is, don't make us jump right into the playoffs. Give us some games to get our legs under us. A lot of these guys are going to be back on the ice for the first time in a couple of weeks when these training facilities open again. So the exhibition games aspect of it was always going to be a part of this thing. Just, you know, get our sea legs under us, and then we jump into the playoffs. So, and it's a good idea. I mean, I still remember Connor McDavid telling me earlier this during the quarantine, the idea of, if you put the Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames immediately into a playoff series, you're going to end up with the Bakersfield Condors and the the Adirondack Flames by the end of the series, because everybody on the NHL level will be hurt, and it's just going to be a minor leaguers playing by the end of the series.
How much of these ideas, or I guess it's a plan, it's not an idea, but that do you think we could see in the future? You know, we've always talked about playoffs and should they redo how the playoffs are played in the NHL. Are there any things that they're implementing with this that you could see being adopted later on?
Yeah, I mean, there's been discussions here and there over the years about expanding the playoff format, and I think they're only going to get louder when Seattle enters the league, and now you're only taking 16 out of 32 teams to your postseason, which doesn't seem very advantageous for maximizing your revenues. I think 24 is a bit too far, even for people inside the league that felt that they needed to expand the playoffs to give a nod to the teams on the playoff bubble. 24 was way too many. There's no reason Montreal and Chicago should be in the playoffs outside of, let's get those massive fan bases interested in our summertime tournament. 20 would seem to be the right number, and then you can get a 7 versus 10 and 8 versus 9 sort of qualifying round before the playoffs. And I would not be shocked if we saw that. But, you know, as a couple of people have pointed out to me in the last 24 hours, if this 24-team tournament hits as big as they believe it could, who's to say this isn't the format going forward, is that we don't have a qualifying round of the playoffs before the 16-team tournament hits? So we'll see. But I can tell you for a fact that there is sentiment within the NHL Board of Governors to try to expand the postseason, especially once Seattle gets here.
Yeah, very good stuff, Greg. Hey, we appreciate the time as always, and looking forward to having some hockey, hopefully, to talk about here in the coming months.
You got it, boy. Thanks for having me.
Greg Wyshynski, ESPN, covers the NHL for them and does a tremendous job. So we have an idea, Ryan, of what it's all going to look like. I think it's very interesting, though, to know that the players, you know, they still have some concerns, and I completely understand that. And, you know, we've praised both sides that there's not a lot of groveling over money, but there's still some things to be determined, and I think the players want to make sure that everybody knows that.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, it's also whatever debates that may be going on, obviously it's all being done privately, you know, compared to what we're seeing with Major League Baseball, where, you know, the owners are coming at it with one direction publicly, and the Players Association is coming at it another direction publicly. And it's a black eye that's growing, and it will be a pretty big permanent black eye if they cannot play this 2020 season.
So there you go. That is the plan that is in place. When we come back here on the Rundown, we have a plan, and it involves a bet. We'll tell you what we're talking about when we come back here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ah, yes, the late, great Kenny Rogers bringing us back. ESPN 102.5 The Game. It is the Rundown. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson here with you. Well done, Marquise. Well done by you. With some The Gambler coming back. All right, so I said there's going to be a bet, and this is, we've been trying to get creative. Let's just peel back the curtain a little bit, because obviously, and I talked to Jason Fitz last night from ESPN, as Ryan mentioned earlier. You can check that out. It's on our YouTube channel, on Facebook. You can go and look at that. Had a great conversation with our old pal, Jason Fitz, who's doing big things at ESPN. And one thing we discussed is what it's been like over the last few months of not having sports. And NASCAR's back, UFC's back, WWE never went anywhere, but no hockey, no baseball. Obviously, football is an offseason, no NBA. So it's been hard to do 4-hour local shows because we don't have sports to talk about. I asked him what it was like on the national front, and the thing that we both said was you got to get creative. You got to do different things, and in some ways it's made us better because you have to think outside the box, and so I think we've done a good job with that, with our game night that we have introduced, our Facebook Live that we've been doing a couple times a week, and Jason, of course, was a part of that last night. We've had Tom Glavin and Derek Mason and others on with us, but we're going to have some fun this Friday, and not that they all haven't been fun, but we're going to get a little competitive, Ryan and I. We're going to do a baseball tournament. Since we don't have baseball, we're going to play a video game, and I am very excited about it.
Yes, we are. It's going to be a Braves versus Reds best of three on MLB The Show on game night. That is this Friday. And we have Pete Weber calling the games.
Yeah, so that's going to be fantastic. So Pete Weber on the call.
Yes, Pete Weber. That's kind of his how do I put this? I mean, that's his wheelhouse. I mean, he got into broadcasting essentially by being on the call for baseball games. So very much looking forward to this Friday night. We think we have some special rosters for it. We need to test it out to make sure that we can pull it off. But if we can, it's going to make it that much more intriguing Friday night. And we're gonna have some things on the line Friday night. Some important, very important things.
Yeah, and this is why I love this idea because, and don't you know? I mean this as nice as possible. I don't mean this mean at all, but the thing that makes you and I so great is how different we are in certain ways. You know, you're very much, you got to have the plan. I mean, you are the, let's test everything out, make sure everything works right. I'm the, let's just kind of see what happens. That's the fun of it. And we've tested this stuff. We know how to make it work, but are all the bugs worked out? No, but I love that. It's going to be a show on the show. So I think that's going to be fun. And Pete Weber will just add to that with his commentary, not just doing play by play. So I think it'll be fun. And as you said, we are going to have some things on the line. So are we agreeing that the winner gets a case of beer of their choice and then the loser has to buy said case of beer, but has to wear the others, you know, like for you, if you lose, you have to wear Brave stuff. If I lose, I have to wear red stuff. Is that what we're going with?
Yeah, and I think we have to do that on a future game night.
Okay. I like that.
However that may be, if you're interviewing, you know, John Smoltz and I kick your butt in MLB The Show on Friday night, then you got to wear a Reds jersey while interviewing John Smoltz on game night.
And he's going to look at me and go, why the hell are you wearing a Reds jersey?
And then you're going to have to explain to him, Chase, that you know what, you know, my good buddy and you know our program director Ryan Porth, he just owns me in MLB The Show. You know, I can never beat him. You know, it doesn't matter how good my team is or how bad his team is. It just, you know, I can just never beat him, and it's just this big bugaboo that I cannot get over. It's the monkey on my back, and I here I am sitting in a Cincinnati Reds jersey. One of Ryan's, you know, 30 jerseys that he has in his closet. I'm just sitting here in his jersey and, you know, I just can never beat him. It just can't happen. I always struggle against Ryan Porth when it comes to MLB The Show. So here I am. That's going to be
a lot of trash talking. That's a lot of trash talking already. This goober last night spends, I don't know, an hour and a half posing for his fiance in his 1999 Cincinnati Reds.
Hour and a half? No. Yeah,
maybe I'm exaggerating a little bit, but he sends me this picture like, hey, we should, you know, you take a picture in your Braves gear and we'll put that on the graphic and that's how we'll promote it. I'm like, yeah, whatever, that's cool. And then I get this picture like, oh, you mean right now? Okay. Well, let me get right on that.
Hey, it was top of mind. Let's just knock it out.
It's a good picture, though. We will put that out later.
You are correct.
It is a good picture. In the Reds gear. So,
and the gear is phenomenal. It's winning gear. It's gear that you win with in MLB The Show.
Yeah, okay. All right. I'm pretty sure while it has been a while, my team has won a World Series more recently than yours.
So. Well, that's not the point of a video game. I don't think you've ever beaten me in MLB The Show.
Probably not. But going to practice. We're going to make it happen come Friday night.
You're gonna
and
need
what's
that practice.
What's fun about this too is so I told you this last night. I'm going, you know, I've been working on the streaming stuff, and you know, a lot of people have during this time. And one thing that you know, with iRacing that has gotten so popular because the NASCAR drivers were using it during the downtime and Fox was broadcasting it, Dale Earnhardt Jr. has been a big proponent of it because he's helped them. He's gone and scanned tracks, and he's been on iRacing for a long time. And so on his Twitch channel, a lot of times he will stream while he's racing, and he's racing against just anybody. And so I was watching some of it last night, and I thought it was really cool because he gets in a race with some people, and this, you can tell it, you know, there's the channel's open and you can hear him talking. They're like, is that Dale Jr.? Is that the Dale Jr.? And then some are like, hey, Dale, thanks for racing with us. Looking forward to it. And then that's it. There was this one guy that I thought he was going to start crying. Like, he was so excited and felt just that it was so cool that Dale Earnhardt Jr. was racing with them and was, like, thanking him and stuttering and going, I mean, you know, he was, like, sitting there saying, like, I'm your hero. I mean, you're my hero. And just... It was funny, but and Dell Jr., you know, just with class is like, hey man, appreciate it. It's fun to race with you guys, good times. But that's what's kind of been neat in all of this is I feel like our favorite athletes and celebrities have more or less let their guard down a little bit, and they've been, I just feel like the interaction has been more than I'm used to seeing. And maybe it's just because I'm spending even more time on a computer and Twitter, but I think that's one thing that's been really positive in all of this is, you know, people realize the power that they have.
Gregory on Twitter says, Porth should have to shave the Braves logo into the back of his head when Chase wins.
Oh, I love that idea.
I mean, we could put that on the line. You have to shave the wishbone C into the back of your hair if I win.
Marquise, your thoughts.
Man, look, if you got the barbershops are open back up, but if y'all want to do that, that's your call. That's your hair. I know I'm not putting nothing in my head. I just
so
got
just
my hair
got
cut.
It done.
Yes, and it looks amazing.
It does.
It feels great.
I'm going to have to think about that, Greg.
It might look amazing, but does it feel amazing?
Yes,
that's
it
half
does.
The battle.
Yes. I always feel amazing. I feel like a whole new man when I get a haircut.
I thought half the battle.
Okay. But, by the way, our Twitter question of the day is what is the best/worst pickup line you've ever used and did it work? And we've already gotten a couple great submissions. I'll just leave it at that. And
okay.
If you
so
want
I need to,
to
go back and read?
Yes, I've already texted one of them to you. But if you want to weigh in on that, I know there was a pickup line that I worked that or that I used that that worked. And it's the last pickup line that I had to use. So if anyone wants to weigh in,
I just read the one you sent and with that, we got to go.
Yes.
That's going to do it for this edition of the Rundown while I try and get myself together. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 9 a.m. but stick around. Darren Donick and Chase, that's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.